Welcome everyone to another episode of the Jonathan Project podcast, where iron sharpens iron. We're helping men each week navigate the world around them, and we take the biblical example of David and his friend Jonathan as inspiration. If you have an event coming up where you want me or Jason to come out and speak, talk to men, engage men on the Bible and just being better in their communities and their homes, please reach out to us at thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Jason, welcome, my friend.
Hey, my friend. I really was surprised you didn't start off with saying, welcome to Technical Animal Planet, because,
you know, people have no idea. Like, this was for everyone. This was the third attempt to just do an intro that I do every single week. And it has just been that kind of a week. I'm leaving here. When you guys hear this, I will be in a whole nother state for work. And I don't know if I was even going to be able to get through the podcast, but I'm happy to be here with you, Jason. Excited to talk about what we're going to talk about. But man, what a ride.
What a ride. I know it's the third time on the intro, and we dialed out and came back in probably five times. So,
Oh my God.
Hey, but we're here. Goodness. We're faithful and we're showing up. You know, no ball game. Count. Yeah. Hey, ball games aren't won if you don't show up. Well, right? Some days we get base hits and some days we just get hit by the ball, but we still get on base, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I think that's what we're leaning towards.
That's
today.
Where we're at. Well, I hope your week's been good. I got to tell you, man, I do love doing the podcast. So as you know, and this is a real life example, there was a position that came open and me and two very dear friends of mine competed for it. And another buddy of ours was chosen. One of the competitors chose one. And, you know, I sat and I thought about it, and he and I talked and really do think the world of this guy.
Sure.
And really happy to work with him. So as I think about this, and you know, he and I were discussing the situation, I said, look, it's just like the example in the Bible about Jonathan and David. This is your time to be David. I'm so excited to be able to be the Jonathan and help you along this pathway. So, if nothing else, the podcast applies directly to my life.
I like that, you know, and it was a week I had to travel to upstate New York earlier in the week to be there and support, you know, a dear brother who got promoted to colonel, right? Which is a big deal. He tried to make it not a big deal, but it's a really big deal. Yeah. And again, it's just being that Jonathan, right, supporting him as he continues his journey of serving the country. So it's important you continue to do that for me through the week. And I try to do that for you from where I can. Even though, you know, we prayed right before, because we were having so many issues. The words were escaping me on what I was supposed to say. And we just prayed before. And so it's the small things, which is a good segue to talk about. Because last week we talked about being the hands and feet of Christ, being that servant leadership. We had the great energy from JB, who I know he's out there listening. So much fun to have on the show. That guy, he woke up Jason, he woke up me, and I hope he woke up a lot of you on about just being good servants out there.
Yeah.
And we have a good one this week, Jason, right?
We do. I loved last week. Yes, JB was out there. A pearl of wisdom, as we talked about this for 30 minutes after the show.
We did.
And I said, you know, JB, it's like this. When I was in selection, you had the obligation to help your buddy. And that's where we as men come together and we help one another out. This can't be a solo effort. And I said, you know, when we would do the patrolling phase, if you stepped over a hole, you had to tell the guy, especially at night, you know, like, hey, here's a hole behind you. Because if you let your buddy fall in that hole, it's your fault, you know? And so I love that. And I do appreciate JB and where we are and helping one another out. So Colby, here's the deal. This week I was asked by work to discuss to the workforce what's called quiet quitting.
Mm.
Quiet quitting. And I'm
That's
like,
a popular thing. I've heard that before.
Well, it is, right? It's a withdrawal of from an organization and reinvesting in another area to provide meaningfulness. which is pretty benign statement. But it also, like, it impacts things. And what I was really thinking about is when people quit going to church, when people quit churches, and why do they do that? One pastor, I was talking to him one time, and he said, you know, years ago, not even years ago, we make it sound like years ago was 1920s. It's not. Let's just say let's just say early 2000s, even before that, if you just opened the doors of a church, people showed up.
Yeah.
But they quit doing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of churches still rely on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, from a dad's perspective or a single parent or parents, both parents, you shouldn't quit going to church. You shouldn't quit the church.
Yeah.
You know, it's important. We also talk about, you know, people withdrawing. So back to the original thing here before we get hip deep into this.
No, yeah.
Quiet quitting is a rebalancing of the socioeconomic scale. All right. Okay. Here's the big word. That's the big phrase. Don't take it as a sign of disrespect.
I was wondering.
But this is what it means. I'm investing. So people pay more attention to their social investments than they ever do their 401k.
Yeah.
But you don't invest in relationships that offer negative returns. People just move on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, in that same vein of caution, what I expressed to work, I said, look, if you have all these work engagement surveys and all the people you're testing this theory from is less than 3 years, they've been an employee less than 3 years, that's called the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what that means, every ex you've ever had in your life was the hottest thing going at first. And then you're like, this is a little crazy. I need to get out of it.
Yeah.
So as churches, if you have a large turnover, maybe there's something going on, right?
Yeah.
Hey, parents, you know, because people will only invest where they get that return. And it's amazing because the gospel's free, right? Like forgiveness is free.
I mean, I think it's interesting, Jason, because, you know, we talk about this a lot with the podcast, and anyone that's doing anything for the kingdom, you find what I'm about to say probably absolutely true. Even if you're ministering to your children or your spouse or someone at home or family members, the product, if you will, the gospel, while it's absolutely free, it is hard trying to get someone to take it. It is absolutely hard for someone to receive the free gift of salvation that is given to us as human beings from Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And I feel like, and Jason, you can tell me through the research that you've done, but I'm curious to see, when we talk about quiet quitting with the church, is it because people are not feeling like their proverbial scratch? Like, I don't like the music. I didn't like that sermon. It felt too personal, when they don't realize that maybe it's the Holy Spirit talking to me. So you walk away from the organization when it gets a little too personal, right? Yeah. Not realizing the nature of this is very personal. It's a relationship. So,
yeah. So that's a good point, right? It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So as we lead people and grow people to a mature state in Christianity, you have to understand, and especially for churches, I think when they get down to the, well, I don't like the music or I don't like this, those are just surface area things, but the bigger issues is kind of like that iceberg beneath the water. Hmm. And in reality, let's think about it. So there is a construct called perceived organizational support, right? Mm-hmm. And what this means is how much does the organization love me, and how much do they see me as being a part of their overall strategic vision? Because everybody wants to belong to an organization that feeds into their social identity, right? It's called social identity theory. But we also live in a reciprocal society, right? If you're good to me, I'm gonna be good to you. Think about the guys that you helped move when they were in the army, that, hey, we're going to help you move for some pizza and some refreshments, right?
Yeah.
You worked all day for it.
Yeah.
And probably bought the pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you go to some places that you've worked, maybe drawn a paycheck, and they're like, hey, we're going to get together, we're going to have this picnic. And you're like, no, I would rather eat a 4-day-old egg sandwich that was in the trunk of my car than sit across the table.
Nah, you're right. You're right. But it's sad when that spills into the church, right?
It does.
And it really does. Things can be petty. Well, I wasn't on this committee. I didn't get to sit in this seat. Someone sat in my seat. We've heard these things, but it tells me, and we have to be very careful of this. And again, as men, you have to set that tone and that temperature in your local church that, hey, it's all about him. And you have to be careful because the devil goes to church every Sunday. You don't believe me? When you're leaving the parking lot, just take a look around and watch how many people have the devil sitting in their pastor seats, telling them to forget all rules, everything that you had on the holy pavement. And let me act like a maniac as I'm leaving this parking lot. So
what you do, right? So when it comes to whether or not people in congregation believes the church loves them, if I just look at it as a blanket organization, it has four things you really look for. One is that organizational relationship. Do I get to be a part of decision making? Is that fair? You know, are resources allocated to things that we all agree are important?
Yeah.
Or is it someone using, you know, is it their personal church, right?
Yeah.
You look at rewards. Are people, and if you look at an organization, you always look at, hey, is everybody rewarded fairly? Things like that. Or the rules fairly applied throughout? A lot of times, unfortunately, churches become, sometimes they can become very, very, very personal. And it's a very closed society. And that's not what it's meant to be. But you also, like you said, I don't like the music. There is that behavioral aspect. Some people, the glass is half empty. It doesn't matter what that glass is full of.
Right.
It could be full of gold. And they'll be like, well, it's only half, you know.
Yeah. There's a problem.
Someone's way of being empty.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the other is the exchange between the leaders and your peers. And that's where Christianity should be. Your church should be the greatest thing, right?
Yeah.
So for leaders, if you don't know this, you embody the organization that you represent through this thing called transference.
Right? Yeah.
And so pastors and church leaders and people of that, you represent the church. And at some point, you will represent that relationship with Jesus Christ. Like that's where you usher them through that. You go, look. Yeah. I know you're going to feel close to Jesus when you and I sit around and talk, but I can't bargain on your behalf.
No, no. You know, I think it's a mentality, right? And I think that's the thing that we have to think about as a leader in the church, right? Your home, wherever you're at, where you run into this thing of called quitting. Quitting is a pretty fundamental core thing of humans, right? We are innately wired to just give up when something gets a little tough.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because when we look at this from a church standpoint and from a men kind of leadership standpoint of being that, you know, that head of your household, you know, the representative ambassador, as we've used so many times here on the show, you have to think about where the focus needs to be. You know, it's not about the music. It's about the heart and the condition. It's not about the pastor's sermon. It's about what that sermon is trying to tell you. Right. And being understanding that God is always with you. Even when we walk away, he's still got his hand out. He's just waiting for you to rejoin back up with him. Right. And quitting, you know, it becomes contagious.
Yeah.
And it is a dangerous thing in the spiritual sense to quit on God because, you know, where else are you going to go? That's your hope. That's your help.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, you'll see them in church, like they've completely tuned out. And they're looking at that magic box in their hand called an iPhone or an Android, right?
Yeah.
Because believe it or not, it gives you a dopamine response in your head. And you're like, oh, man, I feel good. Let me flip the TikTok video. Oh, I feel good.
Yeah.
And they're doing that. They've checked out. They're reinvesting in something right now that makes them feel better. As parents and things like that, you have to be able to distance yourself from that, distance your family from that while you're in church, and try to take time to connect and develop that deeper relationship. Amen. You know, I also think, you know, Colby, that sometimes people divest of the church and they do this quiet quitting. Well, I'm going to carry my church, my family only for it, you know, and they're only attending.
Yeah.
You know,
they're going through the motions. Yeah.
Right. And so what I love is it's like going to a football game. Hey, we're going to watch. Hey, everybody get caught up in some cheerleading cheers and we're going to throw some stuff, footballs, and, you know, everybody feels good. But it's amazing. The Bible never, ever says any, doesn't refer to anybody as a spectator. It says, hey, when you're an athlete, right? Like, you got to get on the field. If you as a Christian, as a father, you go, hey, I carried my family to church. Great. But if you don't take that and apply it back home, they're only going to know church is only for attendance.
Yep.
You know, this is absolutely a struggle. It's okay to let your kids know, your family know, hey, I struggle. This is the tool that I use to navigate life.
Scripture. Yeah, I like that. No, I like that a lot, Jason, like where you're highlighting, it's okay to admit that we want to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's okay to tell the Lord, for example, like, hey, you know, I feel really condemned in this phase of life. It's not the church, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to manifest like, well, I don't want to go to that church anymore, right? And it's because you're feeling condemned about your past. Well, that condemnation is not coming from the Lord. It's coming from your adversary.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing that makes Christianity uniquely different. As it says in Romans, right? 8:26, I think. So forgive me, everyone out there, if I got that wrong.
That's Romans so impressive 8. That you throw that out like that.
No shame here, right? I have no shame. I love the Lord, not a theologian. But where he says, basically, right, that, you know, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to understand, right, that it's okay to go to the Father. It's okay to call out through Jesus and say, hey, I'm not understanding where I'm at right now, and I really need you to show up and help me. Because he tells us, if we seek him, we'll find him. If you knock, mm-hmm. right, he'll open that door. But when you give up and you walk away, then where are you going? You know, you have to understand that, you know, it's okay to say that things are not okay right now. And I think that when we look at, when we're talking about this quiet quitting thing, right? Sometimes it's easy to hit the easy button and just walk away. But in this case, you know, there's nowhere to place to go, because the source of life, as we talked about in a couple episodes back, is Jesus himself. No. You're just walking away into the arms of the adversary who's absolutely going to, you know, destroy you. So
yeah,
we have to think about that, right? I like how you said that it's okay to be vulnerable. And I like how you said from a dad perspective, tell like, hey, like, I'm not doing so great right now, right?
You have.
I can't get this podcast going.
I can't get this podcast going.
Yeah.
You know, and as dads, I think about this a lot. I think about, hey, we're always afraid. Nobody wants to look stupid.
No.
That's why public speaking is the worst thing. Nobody wants to look like an idiot and this, that, and the other. And it's amazing because, as you know, and I know, everybody on social media has this phenomenal opinion. When you first posted this podcast, there was, what, like 600 comments?
Oh, yeah. We got to get back to that someday. That but
they were all negative. All negative. Yeah. But none of them centered about the content of the podcast. So high opinion, low commitment. They wouldn't even commit to at least listening to 5 minutes. But, you know, as dads or you're in a problem, I want you to remember this. The professional never belittles you, right? I had the fortune of doing this video workout thing with Dennis Vosselet, right? When I was trying to figure out the kettlebell sport. And if you've never tried that, manipulating a weight for 10 straight minutes without ever setting it down, the clean and the jerk overhead, it's challenging. Well, this guy's the absolute champion. Like at a, I don't know, maybe a buck 70, he can hoist two of those 70-pound kettlebells for 10 straight minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, he does like over 100 reps. Obviously, when he was helping me, I'm not in that caliber. That was the most encouraging person. The same as some of the other guys that I've talked to, like Jeff Newberg and Levi Marquardt and things like that. Those guys, so when a brother comes to you and he says, man, I'm having a rough go, there is, I mean, don't get me wrong, humor is a great thing, but don't belittle people. You know, even Solomon says it in Proverbs, you know, he says, it's foolish to belittle another man, right? Don't belittle. We're here to help one another out.
Yeah.
And when it comes to quitting, I thought about this. When it comes to quitting and people go, well, I'm just not motivated, right? And we know from a psychology, like motivation's kind of. And I thought about that. I'm like, listen, motivation, because this is a fight for your family.
Yeah.
Right? Like, hey, this is the tools you need to navigate. I bet you're teaching your kids to shoot a rifle for their survival. You'd be like, hey, I'm motivated every day.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same, you know, it's very similar because it's a fight for your eternity and your children.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're in that and you go, well, I'm not motivated and I don't feel real good and it's a little cloudy outside, I need you to remember this.
Yeah.
Motivation is really what fifth graders need to run around the gym floor, right? They need that. Hey, get motivated. Come on, let's get your shoes tied and get running. What you need is to remember, hey, I'm an adult. These are my kids. Just like when I got to go to work at 5 a.m. or some of the guys that are listening and they go, that motivation, all I need is in there asleep and I'm going to feed them.
Yeah. Right? No, that's
so, yeah. Because if your kids go hungry and you're like, well, I wasn't motivated to go to work today, that's not so good.
Yeah, that's not very manly behavior. I'll just be blunt about it. And I also want to say it was Romans 5:8. Let me redeem myself from everyone. Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
I'm not going to make fun of you.
I feel better. But you know, when we think about quitting, you know, there's a couple things that I think I want to throw out for the guys right to think about here from a practical standpoint. You know, remember God says He'll never leave you or forsake you. Right. Remember, you're not alone in the fight or the battle or whatever's going on in your life. He's not deeming you unworthy to go to church, to continue to study and grow. That's why He calls it a journey. There's many acronyms. It's a race. It's a journey. It's growing from being a spiritual baby into maturity. Don't give up. You know, God is the source of eternal life, right? Everything in your life, if you're running from Him, there's nowhere else to go. Because He is the source of life, right? So just lean into it. It's okay. We talked about the other one. Quitting is human,
yeah.
Right? Quitting is human. That feeling is, but leaning in and quitting and actually giving up are two different things. We all have temptations. We all have different thoughts. We all want to quit at some point in our life. Mm-hmm. I think about my good buddy co-host here who is a Green Beret. And he tells the story where he had two broken feet and he just kept moving. He just kept moving. And sometimes in life, that's what you have to do, especially as a guy. You know, like Jason just said earlier, what if you have a family?
Yeah.
You know, your spiritual, eternal destiny, those kids are looking at you. Well, dad likes to stay home and watch the football games. So why can't I stay home and watch the football games? You know, we need to set that example, right? Go ahead, Jason.
Yep. And, you know, let's put a caveat to that broken feet walking thing. That is through the woods of North Carolina, right? It's super long distance. They didn't route that near Krispy Kreme, I'll just tell you right now. But you do, right? You just don't. When you feel like quitting or, hey, I need to stay here and watch the football game, it's more than just taking your kids to church, your family to church, but it's also about engaging. Mm-hmm. And, hey, this is what I got out of this. I'm going to try to apply this to my life.
Yeah.
Being a father is really, and if you're a single mom, you got to do this. Or if you're a family, you got to work together. And you go, this is how we negotiate life. This is how it works.
Yeah. No, you're right. Most practical book. Jesus' half-brother there, James.
Yeah.
And if you ever read James, James is pretty blunt what he expects from Christians. As my good buddy said here, James kind of tears it out the frame for what he expects. But it's 4 points that, you know, I want to leave with you guys to consider. Go back and read the book of James. And I do have my verses straight on this because I wrote them down. Again, wisdom and humor. You got to laugh at yourself out there, folks. But, you know, consider it joy. James tells us, hey, paraphrasing here, but it's from James 1:2-4. You know, consider those trials joy. Why do we say that? Because I think if we're honest with ourselves, some of our best lessons weren't when the sun was shining, but it's when you were just getting things kind of, again, as Jason lovely says, tore out the frame. When things are going sideways, when you look back on it, you probably learned some of your best lessons when things were tough. It's when it was raining, when it was hot, when it was cold, when you were trying to figure out a job, the relationship wasn't going right, okay? Ask for wisdom. Don't do this alone. The whole point of this show, right? Do life with another guy in your life. Someone, you're mentoring someone and someone's mentoring you. Be a Jonathan out there. James 1-5. Don't doubt, okay? Don't go by what you see. You know, as my dad said earlier today, we were having a conversation and I'm expressing things to him. He was like, you know, sometimes right when you want to quit. And it was funny, he didn't even know we were going to do the show about quitting. But he was like, we've been so close to so many blessings that, you know, the Lord is going to tell us about on the other side. And you gave up two steps early. You just stop a little too quick. Don't doubt. And then lastly, focus on the finish. Okay? This is a race. This is a long, drawn out thing. And life is absolutely tough. So don't focus on where you're at. Don't focus on your pain, but focus on that promise on the other side and lean into that. Because God has promised one of the things, and you'll pull this out of James 1 and 12, a crown of life to those who continue to go through and just be champions. You know, lastly, I'm going to leave you with a couple things, a couple guys, as I like to do, just so you know, that absolutely wanted to quit. And they are in the Bible. And one is the most humble man that's ever lived, Moses. If you remember the story, he was like, well, I can't speak well, paraphrasing here. I can't speak well. I can't do this. And God got so angry with him at one point because he didn't want to listen about, and his wife had to jump in and save him because he didn't want to do what God was telling him about circumcision. He wanted to quit constantly, and God had to buff him up. So it's okay out there. You know, if Moses went through it, you're going to go through it, and you can get through it by trusting the Lord. Yeah, God still loved him, right? Elijah. Me and Jason were talking about this as I was going through the technical animal plan. I couldn't figure things out. But he ran. Again, this man had just defeated the prophets of Baal. And then he gets this word from this woman that if you ever want to start a fight, call somebody Jezebel. Mm-hmm. And she said, hey, I'm going to kill you. And he went into hiding. And he pulled up and he ran as fast as he could run. And God had to, again, help him get back on the horse and get going. Jeremiah, right? Weeping prophet.
Yeah.
This man would quit three times in a day and God had to pull him back up and get him going. It's okay to be emotional. All right. It's okay to be emotional, but get mad. Like I tell my son, is going to get over it and get to work. All right. Job, no other story on the planet that will paint suffering in such a light in a picture. But Job had to figure out, you talking about wanting to quit. His wife was like, hey, you talk interesting woman in your life. Hey, why don't you just cuss God and die?
Right? That's horrible. Like, yeah.
That's horrible. But he didn't quit, right? And we know how God returns all of that. I say all of this. And lastly, Paul, I can't leave out good Paul, the thorn in the flesh. And he asked God, like, hey, this, whatever that was, he's like, I'm tapping out. I don't want any more of this. And God was like, my grace is sufficient for you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Just yeah, I gave you that. Get at it.
So I say all that to encourage you guys, right? Even as you've seen here, through the struggles we've had, like with this particular podcast, or at least I have, and my good buddy on the other side has helped me through it. It's okay. Things are not going to go sideways, but don't quit.
Yeah.
Jason, what do you think, brother?
No, I got three guys that I was thinking of. One is Jeremiah, right? We talked about that.
Yeah.
How would you like to be called into ministry, to be a prophet? And God looks at you and goes, nobody's going to listen. Like, nobody. His whole career, all his life, no one turned. Right? There you go. You talk about fruits of your labor. Jeremiah saw none.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I mean, he just, nobody wanted to talk to him. The next one, Ezekiel, who is going at the same time, you know, because they're getting ready to get taken off into Babylon. And Ezekiel, wow. God says, hey, I want you to lay on your side for 390 something days or 300 something days. And then on one side, and then I want you to lay on the other side. I want you to eat 6 little ounces of grain every day. Oh, and by the way, I want you to cook it on poop. So can you imagine Ezekiel's like, hey, can we, at first he says, oh, it's human poop. And he goes, can we renegotiate this? I'm paraphrasing. Yeah.
Very good. No, I got you.
You know? And he says, okay, mule, you can go with mule done. And Ezekiel's like, okay, I'm gonna, all right, this is it, right? Like, you know, he wanted to quit.
Yeah.
And then look at Jonah. Jonah went to the Assyrians to preach. That's like someone in Ukraine being told, hey, I want you to go to Moscow and I want you to preach salvation.
Yeah, tell them how bad they are.
tell them they're bad and tell them I'm wiping them out if they don't become saved.
Yeah.
You know, because Jonah was like, I really do want them wiped out. And God said, no, I still love them because you all look the same to me when you sin.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, for dads that are out there and moms and families, I know it's rough. I absolutely know it is.
Sure.
Center your rough times around Christ, and he absolutely will be there for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Love it.
Don't trust your feelings. Feelings are, man, those swell up in you, you know, and you think you're going to die. It could be like, you know, I don't know, a burp or something else, but then it's, those feelings go away.
Yes, sir.
Be strong. Be strong and take courage. So that's it. Those are my closing comments.
Man, I love it. You know, I love it. I appreciate this episode more than you know, because I wanted to quit several times today. So folks, that is another great episode of the Jonathan Project out there. This episode and every episode comes out every Tuesday. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, iTunes, you name it. You can find the Jonathan Project podcast. If, again, you're looking for us, you want to send us prayers, you want prayer, you want us to come to do an event, thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. On behalf of Jason and all of those out there supporting us, we thank you, and we'll see you again next week. Take care.
See ya. We'll be right back.